It's going. We're on. We're live, everybody. Lewis has been giving me a hard time, so I promised him that I would try my best to embarrass him. Where's Lewis? Oh, okay. I want everyone to look at Lewis. Look at Lewis. And don't you already feel better about yourself at this current moment? All right. So let's go ahead and start reading. James chapter 2, verse 14. Can you guys hear me all right? I know I have kind of a weak, girly voice, but hopefully it'll carry enough for you guys to hear. All right, verse 14 of chapter 2 in James. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and the one of you says to them, go in peace and be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You know, when I was reading this passage, verse 18, you know, was our emphasis, what we were really stressing this week. And reading the whole context, I looked at verse 15 and 16. And I want to ask you guys, what do you think, what is one of the loudest ways you can show your words? So I want you to think of people that care about you or the fact, thank you, Javasi, or those that you care about, what are some actions that come out? You make sure that they see this. You make sure that they feel this. And verse 15 and 16 really speak this loudly. And we're going to hit the topic on love. Okay, loving your neighbor. Okay, because we know, it's one thing for me to go to Matthew and say, I love you, bro. But if he sees that in my actions, now all of a sudden, what? I mean, it has more worth, right? Like, Kelton's looking at me like, yeah, bro. Like, if I say, Kelton, I love you, he's going, okay. But if I invest in him and I'm mentoring him and even this coaching relationship, like Coach Ty working with Brian and him, or if Kelton would have got out of bed, you know, he's giving extra time to invest. And that speaks volumes over just what? Our words. Verse 17 says, faith without works is dead. And then verse 18, our key verse, I will show you my faith by my works. So let's pray, and then we're going to hit our main passage of Scripture in 1 John. Dear Lord, I pray that you would be with me as I give the word. Lord, I love these guys and gals, and I pray and I hope that they would take this to heart and that they would try their very best to apply it. Lord, if they have things like a pen and a paper, or they have their Bible with them, I pray that they would underline, draw arrows, circle, highlight, whatever. Because the fact of the matter is, they're going to forget what I have to say here in a month or even sooner. But when they look throughout their Bible and they read their Bible, they look at their Bible, they're going to see this emphasis and this connection and the fact that, you know, verse 15 and 16 of James 2 can connect to 1 John. And Lord, I pray that they would use their pens and they would be wise and discerning with their time during this next 30 minutes or so. Lord, we love you and we thank you for loving us and being our primary example, which is something we're going to really focus on as John the Apostle writes. And Lord, be with me again. Be with them as they listen and apply. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as you're turning to 1 John, and you can go to right at chapter 1, I'm going to give a brief little background to John's letter. But before I do that, you guys go to 1 John chapter 1, and I'm going to hit Matthew 22 real quick. Matthew 22. So there's really two reasons that I thought that we need to talk about love and action. We need to talk about love and action. So reason number one can be found in Matthew 22, verse 37 through 40. And he said to them, or him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. Verse 39. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Okay, so what's the first commandment that Jesus gives? Love God. And then the second is? Okay, and it's like this. And it says, you know, basically he's equating it with just as important, okay? Love God and then love your neighbor. Okay, so now that's the first reason. This is Jesus' response. Jesus' response of this is really important. Okay, these are the great commandments, these two. 1 Corinthians, then we're going to see what Paul thinks. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 8. I'm going to read and then we're going to go to 1 John. So this is reason number two. Reason number one, Jesus thinks it's really important. And then we're going to see that Paul thinks it's important as well. Chapter 13, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, and if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. So I want to ask you guys this question. Does Paul value love? Of course. And then, of course, does Christ value love? Yes. All right, so let's go to 1 John. We're going to be reading out of chapter 2, but I want you to look in chapter 1 real quick. And this is basically the purpose of John's letter. Okay, so like, you know, try to give an illustration, like a coach will have this plan, have this idea for the season. Like, this is what we're going to emphasize, and here's the reason why. Well, John's going to write this letter, okay, and Jonathan, he's going to tell us why I'm writing this letter. Verse 4 of chapter 1 says this, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. So now that everything follows, it's so that you can have joy. Okay, who in here enjoys having joy in their life? Okay, the truth of the matter, all of us should be raising our hands because we would love to have comfort, peace, and joy that we get from this Word of God, that it comes through who? Okay, this is that Sunday school answer. It comes from who? Through who? Okay, Christ, the Word. Okay, and if you want joy, let me tell you something. So now we're going to see what John emphasizes throughout his whole letter. Throughout his whole letter, Matthew is just, it's just love, 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 all throughout. So let's go to chapter 2, verse 9. Chapter 2, verse 9. Of 1 John. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So, if you are full of hate, okay, it's the opposite of love. He's equating that as what? Darkness. And what, are we smart enough to apply something there? You're of, or you're in the darkness, of the darkness, a part of the darkness? I mean, what? Sin? Can we go even a step farther? Because John does something. John does something that's so, it's very practical. And throughout this whole letter, he's going to go, a Christian does this. A non-believer does this. And he's going to go, Christians tell the truth. A non-believer lies. And then what we're talking about, and he hits several things, and they are all what? Part of actions. They're actions. They speak louder than this verbiage, words. Love. Christians love each other. Jesus even says what? To love your enemy. Non-believers, they're full of hate. They don't love. They're selfish. And they're in the dark. They're blind. They do not see. So this means, if you're a part of the darkness, you're full of hatred, this is an attribute that you are characterized as, you can just contribute that. John would think, you're not a believer. And then the opposite would be true. If you are loving, then you are in the light. And by your actions, it would speak that you really believe this. Like Derek, you really believe in the Son of God. You really believe in the Word of God. And so you apply it. And now it's not just verbiage. It's not just speech. But Breon, now I'm putting it into action. Okay, so let's go one verse further. Or actually, excuse me, go to chapter 3 of 1 John. We're going to go to verse 10, and then we're going to get in our main text. Chapter 3, verse 10. John writes, "By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil." You see what he's doing already, right? Same thing that I just explained. Children of God, children of Satan. Okay, keep reading. "Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother." Okay, and now we're going to see, he's going to give us two examples. He's going to give us two examples. So let's read verse 11. "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain." Okay, so Cain's going to be this example that the Apostle John's going to give us, who was the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder his brother? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. "Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you." Okay, let's get something straight here. Okay, everyone, attention. Hey, up here. Okay, the world is full of hate. I mean, you can look at the news, whether it's CNN, Fox News, and real quick you can find out we have a lot of problems, don't we? I mean, just in the United States, and a lot of us still, Christian nation, but there is a lot of hate. And it's coming from both sides, coming from everywhere, south, north, east, west, okay, white, black, it doesn't matter, there's hatred everywhere. And that's the world. And just like in John's day, it was just as bad. But here's the thing. They expected it from the world. And we ought to as well. So here's this little application piece here. If the world is full of hate and they're going to hate us as Christians, they're going to hate each other because they're of Satan, okay, we need to expect that's going to be the case. So Amos, when someone's hateful toward me, now what's the responsibility? What am I accountable for? Yeah, my response. How am I going to handle myself? And this is where, this is the hard stuff, right? If we're completely honest. Okay, this guy's a jerk. How do I respond? This girl is a gossip, and she just slanders my name any chance she's got. How do I respond? Do I respond out of hatred? Okay. So we're seeing Cain as the example, the association with the world. Now let's look at verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. So now, again, John is going to equate what with murder? Hate. Okay, so I'm not a murderer, but I've hated somebody before. I've been hateful towards somebody. Okay, so I'm right here by John's own words. You're full of hate. You're guilty of murder. And then he says this, verse 15, second part of it, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So again, John's emphasis and what he keeps doing throughout his letter is here's a Christian and here's a non-believer. And here he gives Cain as the example, who killed his brother. And Cain was full of hatred. He was evil, and then he murdered. Association with the world, we should expect it from the world as well. And this leads to what? What does John say it leads to? Darkness, association with darkness, but it leads to what? Ultimately, death. Okay, so now let's read verse 16 through 18, and now we're going to get the other side. Okay, here's Cain. Now he's going to give us a good example of love. By this, verse 16, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And so ultimately, when he's using that verbiage, lay down your life, who is that ultimate example? Christ. And he's going to go to that. We'll go to that a little bit later. But I want you to recognize something. Verse 17 just popped out. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? This sounds almost strangely familiar, right? Let's flip back and go back to James chapter 2. Go back to James chapter 2. It's just a couple pages. You have 1 and 2 Peter in between, and then you have James. Now, if you're listening, you would have read or you would have remembered James chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. What does James say? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? Okay? And 1 John, John's hitting almost the same example. Okay, so this would be a great example for you to do a parallel passage. So if I'm in James chapter 2, I'm going to write 1 John 3. So that you know you can flip or you can look and you got this parallel example. Okay? Or vice versa. 1 John 3, you can write James 2 there. And then underline verse 17. Okay, I'm going to ask this question. When's the last time you served somebody? Okay? John's hitting it. James hit it. Our shirt, some of us that are wearing it, Udonis, are we living it out? Okay, are we actively involved in this thing called love? Okay, so I can use an example, right? Okay. Of course I can. I'm talking. You know, my mom communicated that she loved me more than just her saying what? I love you. I love you. I love you. Okay? And at a certain point, the older I got, if that's all I got from my mom, the association there would be, it's not that valuable. Right? Okay, but this is something, Chris, my mom showed me she loved me because she worked hard. Like she worked a job, then she'd come home, cook dinner, do dishes, clean, and she would clean after me, after my siblings. She was soft-hearted. I mean, she just served without complaint. Okay, she was at every basketball game that she could go to because she knew that was important to me. Okay, and she spoke volumes. And when she said, "I love you, Stephen," I was like, she loves me. You know, I give another example. You know, I used to, when I was in high school, I went to a public school. And in high school, guys in the back, in high school, I remember praying this prayer all the time. I remember I read Timothy, and I was thinking, man, I wish I had a Paul in my life. Like I was, you know, associating myself with a young Timothy, and I was just like, you know, he had a Paul. Paul was looking out for him. Paul was ministering with him. You know, he was, you know, his mentor, and he was. And I was going, man, I wish I had somebody. I wish I had somebody. I wish I had somebody. Can I tell you, God answered that prayer, because when I went to college, my second college, I went down to Pensacola, Florida, and I played basketball there, and Coach Getch was that Paul. I mean, that was that moment in my life where I was just like, yes. Man, it wasn't just about basketball for him. I mean, Quan, I'm talking about, this is a college basketball team, and he would take 10 minutes out of the first of practice. Any prayer requests? You guys, let's circle up, let's pray. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, at first I'm going, what are we doing? Like, this is basketball, this isn't church. And there wasn't no disconnect for Coach Getch. During January, we would do a road trip. We would play like 8 games in about 2.5 weeks, early to mid-January. And so we were driving to Florida, then we go to Tennessee, then we go to South Carolina, and then back to Arkansas, and then we were just doing this big, giant road trip. And I remember like every night, Matthew, you could bet on it, you know, Coach Getch spent time with God, whether it was on the bus, whether it was in his room, or whatever, he made time for God. Basketball wasn't more important. And so I'm watching him because I'm like, this guy cares about me. He's had me over to his house. He's doing this. He's doing that. And I'm going, this guy cares. Now I care what he's doing. Like, I want to do life like him. And some of you aren't going to be pastors, right? But you need to realize that you could be that Paul to another Timothy even right now. Like, I'm talking seniors, look. Man, there's freshmen that are looking at you whether you like it or not. You know, and this little side piece is for, you know, teachers. I know we're having GAD and Get Acquainted days, and we're thinking everything's kind of toward them. But as teachers, man, we really need to shine. We need to get this right. Like, they're watching us and how we respond and how we handle ourselves. One thing that Daniel will probably also agree with me is, one thing I've taken notice of Coach Randy, and he helps with soccer, is I've seen him take guys to the side, and he doesn't always talk about soccer. Which is strange for sports and coaches, because normally they don't do that. But I've seen Randy talk, and he's talking about life application. And it's like, it's, you know, at first, last year I coached, and at first I wanted to be like, Coach Randy, you need to be teaching, you need to be telling them. And then I had to kind of cool down and go, okay, that, what he's doing right there, is more important than kicking a ball. Bottom line. So when's the last time you've served someone? Because we like to associate it with somebody loving us, right? Like, I use mom as my example. But what about you? So let's flip the script. Hey, mom, I love you. Hey, mom, I love you. Hey, mom, and I'm growing up. How valuable are those words if it's just words? Eventually, she's going to somewhat question. I'm not obedient. I'm rebellious. I don't really do the chores that she asked me to do. I'm not helping with anything in the house. I'm just, okay, give me. I want. I love you, mom. We know that doesn't work. Okay, so let's ask ourselves and let's apply this. Okay, some of you, you're not with your parents, but you're going to have a year in someone else's house. How are you going to handle yourself? I'm not saying you have to go, you know, Mr. May and go, I love you, Mr. May. Okay, but you can speak louder than words with your actions by saying, I respect you. Thank you for letting me come and stay with you. I'm going to help do the dishes. Oh, I can help set the table. It only takes 1 minute. You know, Brianna, I'm using this example. You know, just the other day, she like asked where I'm at, and I'm at the church, I'm at work, and she's like, hey, I need to see you. And I'm like, what's going on? You know, Levi, is he okay? She's like, no, it's nothing. And she comes and finds me, and I'm like, what's up? And she just comes out, and she takes these stamps out, and she's, look what I got at the U.S. Postal Service. And it was Mr. Rogers stamps. And she knew, some of you don't know who Mr. Rogers is, and that's okay. But she knew how excited I would be because I have this video I send to some of my friends if it's their birthday. If you want to look it up on YouTube, it's Happy Birthday, Mr. Rogers. And it's just really corny and, you know, you guys probably won't find it funny, but he sings Happy Birthday and it's hilarious. So she knew that association that she showed in that little funny example that she loved me. Another thing she did, this was a Missouri thing, right? This was a Missouri thing. You know, I was out north of St. Louis, and for some odd reason, a lot of guys that were athletic, Kelton, on the basketball team, on the track team, we would tuck in our shirts in our, like, you know, shorts, our shorts for practice or running or whatever, which is really nerdy, right? Some of you are looking at me like, and I'm a nerd. So I did that in college. I went to BCC and I'm tucking my shirt in and I'm walking around and like people are looking at me and I'm just like, what's up? And there was one other guy from Arkansas. He was homeschooled, but he tucked in his shirt too. And my wife became my girlfriend and she loved me so much, she communicated with me and said, that is not acceptable. Right? And so I learned, okay, untuck. You know, that's a funny example. But I want to bring application for you guys. Because this is Get Acquainted Days, and we're talking about school. You guys have a year of school coming up. Okay, so I want to focus more on application for school. So what does this look like, love in action, loving your neighbor, and what's the application? So let me give a couple examples and then we'll go with it. Okay, Jonathan. Okay, he's in line to become king after King Saul. Okay, King Saul's his father. And then who comes on the scene? David. Now, who becomes David's best friend? Jonathan. Who blesses David? Jonathan. Who looks out for David's life? Who looks out for David's best interest? Who has everything to lose with David's success? Oh, wow. So this is where it gets kind of dicey. Jonathan is going to look out for David, even though knowing that David is the upcoming anointed king of Israel. Okay, that takes humility. That takes a lot of action on Jonathan's part. And here's a second part that I never thought of. With how sinful and how corrupt and how rebellious Saul was acting at the end of his life, how awesome of an example is Jonathan to still honor and love his father. Because he could have totally abandoned Saul, and we would all read that story and go, oh, we totally understand. But yet you see Jonathan, like, even going to battle with Saul, even to the point of death. And guys, it's easy for us to love people who already love us or love us back, right? But Jonathan is a great example of loving somebody who doesn't necessarily benefit us. Okay, so let me use that. Let's use a sports example. You know, when I was in high school, I was the basketball guy. Then I went to college, and I became the water boy. See where I'm going with this? Okay. And some of you soccer guys will understand. Like, I get on the freshmen or the guys that are red shirts, and I go, get the water! Get the water! Quit sitting! Like, these guys are tired and thirsty. Become part of the team. And everyone goes, oh. You know, and they get the water. But seriously, you know, I'll be honest. Okay, I was the star basketball player at my little high school. Then I went to college, and everybody's 6'8", 6'5", at my position. And I'm going, coach, am I going to... Okay. And then I'd sit over here during practice. And I pouted, and the first month it was miserable. I thought about quitting, and the coach doesn't see how valuable I am. You know, I had this mindset. But then I realized something. How am I going to make the team better? So then I got this crazy attitude adjustment where I was like, I'm going to be the best water boy I can be. And I'm going to these guys and I'm like, water, water, water. You know, I'm grabbing towels for, you know, you look sweaty. You know, I'm throwing towels at them, you know. Coach, you need me to do, okay. And I'd sit. Okay, so here's the example. Some of you are role players. Some of you are stars. Some of you are bench players. You're practice players. But I'm asking you, this is one way that your actions can speak that you're not selfish. Okay, and another example. I've already used Coach Getch. Another example would be Paul. From Paul, we have the Pauline epistles. We have these letters that Paul writes to either individuals that he cares about and loves or churches that he cares about and loves. What is one of the backgrounds or where Paul finds himself when he's writing these letters? Like, let's think really negative here. He's in what? Prison. Okay, if I'm in prison, I would want to be going, Lord, get me out. Please help me. It's all about me. My voice is cracked, if you guys are. But Paul didn't have that attitude, did he? Like, we like to take this one verse out of context. Philippians 4. Yeah. But if you read that, you'll find out that whether everything's going good in life, I'm content in Christ. Or if everything is going wrong, I'm content in Christ. And so Paul's writing these letters out of prison. And Alec, man, you can see love throughout these letters. Like, he really cares about these people. Paul, if I was in Paul's shoes, I'd be going, Can you guys help me? Can you make this a little more comfortable? Send somebody or something. No, Paul's not, okay, I'm content. And he's going, and he's trying to teach them, and he's trying to show them what they need to correct, and he's all focused on them. Okay, now if Paul said, if he went to that church later and said, I love you guys, do you think they held his words with much value? Yeah, of course. I used my mom as an example already. But now I want to show you the ultimate example. And some of you, as soon as I said that, you're already thinking Christ. But I want to take you to 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 11. We're almost done, guys. We're almost done. A couple more minutes. 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 11. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God. Okay, so he's kind of repeating himself about this separation, right? Believer, non-believer. All right, keep reading. Verse 8, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Verse 9, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world, so that we might live through Him. And in this love, or in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love what? One another. And then verse 19, just skipping down, it's just a hard verse to leave out. We love because He first loved us. And so guys, gals, we're not asked to do anything that Christ didn't hold Himself accountable for to do as well. This isn't a God who had everything perfect. I mean, He had every right to live. Okay, He's not in sin. He didn't mess up the world. He didn't fall. He wasn't a follower of Satan. Okay, this is the all-powerful, all-sinless God, and yet He came to earth, and then He lived a humble life, a servant, even unto what? The point of death. That's God. And John keeps using this example that God loved us. Does God say He loves us? Yeah, through His Word, we can read that. But how valuable would it be if we didn't have the example of how much God loves us? So God doesn't just give us these words. He lived it out. And it's all through the Old and New Testament. You can see the love of God for His children. And if that's our example, if that's the God who created me, and that's the God who sent His Son to die for me, then John communicates something. Caleb, I can love others too. I should be the most loving person. I'll give you an example. I had to preach on Wednesday. I had 8:30 power hour, 10:45 power hour, which means I'm just teaching the kids. And then I had Sunday school. And then I had the adult service on Wednesday. And then I remember I got these text messages. People are moving. Just really strange. I had like 6 or 7 people text me that asked to be moved in probably a 2.5 month period of time. So on a Saturday, I helped somebody move. And then on Tuesday, I helped somebody move. And Jonathan, this came to my mind. I have no time to spare. I'm really busy. I got this to plan for and this. I got to, you know. And then I thought to myself, Nathan, how selfish of you, because people helped you move. We had two or three couples coming and helping us paint, and we didn't even ask. And then I have these couples that I say that I love them, and then they ask me, hey, can you help me this Saturday? And Amos, I had stuff to do. I got yard work. I got, and I could have came up with this stuff. But then I thought, you know, Nathan, you're being selfish. Okay, and it's not giving myself a pat on the back, but shame on me to even have that thought of just like, oh, I'll just blow it off. Somebody else will do it. Okay, you guys are out of school. I made fun of Lewis earlier, but one thing that I'll praise him for is that when Sean came right in my Bible class, what, midway through the year? There was multiple times where Lewis was trying to close in the gap to help him in class. Okay, he's living it out in action, not just words. Sean, I'm your friend. Good luck in Mr. Myers' class. No, he's there to help. Amos, just this week or this last week, just wait, it's a compliment, all right? Amos was helping the junior high guys with their practice. He's giving them tips. He's just helping along the side. Okay, he didn't have to do that. Matt, you too. Good job. Good job, buddy. All right. Okay. Each and every one of you, you have this whole school year. Okay? And it's up to you to live out your faith. Okay, Abraham is used as an example, I believe, in James chapter 2, right? 20:22-24. And it basically says that by his works, it basically showed Abraham's faith. He became righteous before God. And each and every one of us have to ask us the question, okay, if I really believe in this, then I should be one of the most loving people, despite how that girl treats me at school. How that guy treats, okay, if social media was something Pastor Brian used earlier, man, if I'm a guy and some guy says something about another girl that is negative in any aspect, I'm going to be the first guy to say, knock that off. And the 11th graders know that I hit that pretty hard last year. Okay, because let me just give you another tip, and this is a side note that I shouldn't go here, but I will. Girls, you know, it's nothing for a guy who's attracted to you to treat you nice. Watch how he treats a girl he's not interested in. Watch how he treats his mom. And you'll find out who this guy really is. And I'm saying all this to say this. All that to say this. Okay, guys, we can show that we love others, our neighbor, okay, by being a protector. Okay, I'm not going to allow these guys to pick on this guy. I'm not going to allow these guys to talk about this girl in this way. Okay, your actions speak louder than words. Okay, so let's bow our heads. I know in a crowd this size, not everybody is wanting to apply this to their life. Okay, I'm not dumb to think that everyone's going, man, I really need to work on this. But I can at least think that there's many of you, or some of you, or maybe a few of you, that you say, okay, Pastor Nate, you're right. I need to love my neighbor as myself. This is something, and this is an area in my life that my actions really haven't spoken this at all. So I'm going to ask you guys, as I pray, will you pray for God to help you? Would you pray that, you know, maybe you're, or even talk to your friend after this message or at, you know, before bed, you know, keep me accountable. You know, some of this area, or maybe what Pastor Brian talked about earlier, or what Mr. Farmer, or what Pastor Sean talked about, or will talk about, you know, you should have a friend that cares about your soul. And you should care about your soul. And you need to apply and let your actions speak for your faith. Okay, so as I pray, will you pray quietly to yourself? Dear Lord, I thank you for the application that John gives us about our faith. And James says that, you know, our works show our faith. It's not by our works that we're saved, but saved people work, and they give good fruit. And by that, they let their faith be known. And Lord, help me to do a better job with my actions. Help my actions to speak for my words. Lord, that my words wouldn't just be nothing, would have no value. Lord, help us to be more loving and to follow your example. Lord, you loved us so much, you gave your Son. And Jesus Christ died for us because he loved us. Lord, help us to follow that example. Help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Brian's looking out for me again.